Our text for consideration this morning comes from John chapter 21, starting at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Last Friday was quite the day. I experienced firsthand yet again what a special place Emmanuel is, and how truly blessed we are to be here. In Friday's chapel talk, we were reminded through the words of Jeremiah that God has a plan for us. So we need not worry about next year, next month, or even tomorrow, because he most assuredly is going to work everything out for the good, regardless of how anything might look in this moment. We were encouraged through the words of the prophet Isaiah Friday evening at the banquet that God has always been holding our hand in this life, and more importantly, that he will always continue to do so. He calls us by name and then goes out before us to make the crooked places straight, of which there are many in this world. And finally, Prof. Schierenbeck pointed to Paul's letter to the Corinthians and to the unity of body that we have in Christ. In this body of Christ, there are a diversity of gifts and talents. But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Unique individually, yet we are one in our Lord Jesus Christ. The unity and the diversity that the Apostle Paul speaks to here is not like that of the world. Unfortunately, the world celebrates a unity in corruption and of evil. And the world's idea of diversity is all too often encouraging a diversity of sin and unbelief. Now, as believers, like Peter, who denied his Lord that night in the courtyard, we are not perfect on this side of heaven. We often fall into sin out of weakness. The difference being, though, we know and believe through faith that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, our best friend, faithfully sees us through those failings, and he's always there with an outstretched hand to pull us back up when we are sinking. "Lord, save me." Like Peter, we need only ask. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This has been and always is Jesus' response and his encouragement to us. Jesus' sheep are precious to him. Jesus once said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When we realize, especially in a time of change like that which is ahead for you seniors, but also to all of us to some degree, when we realize that we are always entirely and completely weak in and of ourselves, it is then that we can be confident in Christ and repeat what Paul confessed, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." In our inherent weakness, we are only made strong in and through Christ's strength, which we find in His Word and sacraments, and in which He alone can give us. Remember that. Our bold and often overconfident brother Peter was finally made to understand this concept, and he opens our eyes to this reality through his response to Jesus' inquiry in our text. As we look out ahead towards any coming change that affects our life, whether it be high school graduation, a call to serve in the public ministry, a new job, a different career, or maybe even societal chaos that could change the trajectory of life as we know it, we ought to be comforted in this, that at the end of the day, we are ultimately children of God and heirs of eternal life, and we can be sure and confident in these three things. First, God has a plan for each and every one of us, and it's something amazing. It's not our definition of amazing, but it's His definition of amazing. Second, whatever details that plan may entail, God is right there with us, holding our hand and making the crooked places straight. Because without the crooks, the trials, the tests of life, which prove to us that God loves us and desires to keep us close to Himself, we would most certainly wander off in self-confidence and fall off a spiritual cliff. And third, being of one body in Christ, we always have a common purpose. A common purpose within God's plan for our individual lives. Regardless of any change or event that may be happening around us, we can be confident that it's the best purpose. Not only because it's a command of Christ, which makes it the best purpose, but because it's a God-given purpose and a response out of love and thanksgiving for what He has done for us first. Peter, as well as the rest of the disciples, had already been told this: go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But now we also have the reminder that our purpose in life is twofold: this former command, but also this: feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Self-evident, though easy to neglect. Jesus wants us to continue to teach and nurture our children, our friends, our families, the whole body of Christ, wherever we might be, regardless of our vocation in life. Who are the sheep and the lambs in your life? Are they hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? If they are, minister to them. And in doing so, you are also doing it for your Savior. But especially and most importantly, encourage them, strengthen them, and comfort them in and with God's Word. For man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Peter, in our text, was grieved, as we might be when we remember our past sins or fail to trust in the Lord with our future at times. Jesus humbled Peter, not to hurt him, but to show him that he was precious to him and to strengthen him to better fulfill this purpose, which is our purpose. We can remember that despite our sinfulness, Jesus forgives all of our failures, as He did Peter's. When God humbles us, He will cause us to repent and to remember that His perfect life was given to us in exchange for our impotent, inward-focused, sinful life. And through our precious, invaluable baptisms, we remember that we were given the gift of faith in Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil. A victory which ultimately is ours over the same. Christ's triumphant Easter morning resurrection gives us this sure hope. He has redeemed us in His suffering and death, and His resurrection from the dead assures us that we are justified before God. God the Father approved Jesus' willing, sufficient, and voluntary sacrifice. This sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice. It atoned for your sins and for the sins of the entire world. And then this is our ultimate twofold purpose: to share the glad tidings of the gospel with the world, and to continue feeding and tending those that He causes to become His sheep. As we look to the future, even if we are sure of nothing else and the horizon looks bleak, we can certainly be sure of this: we always have a God-given, worthwhile purpose and a certain destination in heaven, because Jesus' sheep are precious to Him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and evermore shall be, world without end. Amen. We'll close this morning with hymn 648. Hymn 648.